Welcome to Curious Connections, a podcast about how asking one simple question of yourself can create new opportunities that lead to lifelong connections. That question is, what don't I know? Every 2 weeks, we will sit down with interesting and unique people to learn more about them and their ideas about connection. I'm Sean Winchester, and today's guest is Dr. Dina Evan, a marriage, family, and child therapist and consciousness counselor. Dr. Dina, can you start out by sharing a little about what you do?
I'm a crazy lady. And what I mean by that is I have worked for years, in fact, the last 40 years, on helping people find their right purpose in life and how to fulfill that. And the way that began is in 1982, I fasted 37 days on water for the Equal Rights Amendment with seven other women in Springfield, Illinois, with Dick Gregory and his wife. And out of that process came the profound knowing in me that that was my purpose, because we didn't come out of that event with equal rights, but we came out of that event having given ourselves equality. And that was profound for me. And I realized that I can give myself a life of purpose and meaning. And then the realization came afterwards that that's what life on this planet is really all about. That this planet is a school, and everyone in our life is our best life teacher. And that holy moments or profound growth comes in the center of all of our relationships. Let me give you an example of that. I walked into my bank the other day, and I was beginning to open an account, and the young man sitting across from me, I won't give you his name, I won't add him, a wonderful guy, and we started talking about energy and how it works in our life and what he's doing to bump up in his own life and the major quantum leaps he's having. And then he revealed to me that the entire bank staff was fasting once a week and that they are all searching for meaning in their lives. And I think that's happening everywhere. And I think that is why we are having such a negative, awful eruption of negative energy, because it's causing us to say, what's happening here, and is this really what I want? We got off, because of unconscious commercialism, into the belief that accumulating, buying, banking, stocking up, having a lot of money in the bank was our goal purpose here, none of which you can take with you when you go. And so it occurred to me that the only thing we can take with us is the wonderful experiences we have as we push our soul forward into enlightenment. So that's been my work. And I do it through groups. I do it through big conferences that we've had all over the country. And on my website, we have meditation tapes and exercises and videos, and all of it's free. It's drdinaevan.com. And so I hope your listeners will go explore and partake. So in talking to people, our motto is, are you doing what you came here to do and being who you came here to be? But as we talked about before we started talking today, I'm not sure everybody understands what that means. When you talk to people, what do they hear that as?
So that's a good question, because I know when I've been to your website and I've looked at that question, I think we all kind of struggle with this idea of our own identity. I think we all tend to look at ourselves as identifying with things like our job. When you talk to people, you say, so what do you do, or who are you?
Right.
It always comes around that I do this particular job, which is... It's a way of identifying our place in the world.
Right.
But I think we're all more than that.
That's a beautiful point, because I just finished working with a client who opened some companies and made multi-million dollars with these outlets all over the United States, and came to me because he was not feeling joy when he should have. He was financially set for life. He had a wonderful wife who loved him, children who loved him. He was bereft at one point in his life because he lost a child he adored. And we worked through that grief process. And he was at a point where he should have said, you know, I'm feeling really great. And I said to him, well, what is your purpose here? And he said, well, I think I fulfilled it in the company. And I said, well, why aren't you joyful then? If that's your purpose, why are you not joyful? And he said, I don't think it has the meaning I need. And I said, bingo. It doesn't fill your heart and it doesn't push your soul forward. So let's work on finding your purpose. That's what we're talking about. I like to envision it as a huge ring of light around the earth. And with each of us standing hand in hand, holding the person's hand next to us around the earth, no one can take your place in this healing. If you don't stand in your place and offer your heart and soul gifts, they don't get given. That's why we're here, to elevate the consciousness on the planet. And in doing so, we need to elevate our own. So that means, are we in alignment with our integrity? Do we speak our truth? Do we honor ethical boundaries? Do we follow through with the promises we've made? Do we look at the things we fear? You know, in 45 years of counseling, I've never lost a client to a feeling. But we are terrified of sitting with our own feelings, inviting them in for tea and wondering what they're about. And this is work of the soul. That's what we're talking about here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I do like that image you put forth with people holding hands and working together, because that does get back to how connected we need to be in order to create change.
Right.
And to heal not just what may be going on between us individually, but create more of a world healing.
Exactly. Exactly. One of the things I discovered in the past, which was really weird, is I could feel energy coming at me from across the room. Once I had fasted longer than 14 days, I knew exactly what that person was going to say. I knew we were energetically connected. And we are all energetically connected. And we have been taught that I am me and you're an other. There is no other. There is no other. It is, we are one humanity. We are one people. We are one planet. And with that separation has to get removed. So how do we do that? We look at our prejudices. We look at what we've been taught. We look at the things that were shared with us as children are still true for us. And if they're not, we kick them to the curb. And we start to heal the separation inside of us by looking at, what am I afraid of? Under all separation is fear. We're afraid of something. And so if we start looking at what that fear is, then we can remove it, heal it, and get reconnected.
So we're talking a lot about having to let go of those past cultural values or ideas that served us at that time. But as we move forward, we're finding those values maybe have separated us out. Because when we think about success, I know as a child, I was always told to be successful, you have to be able to compete. You have to be able to stand out. But it was very individualized. You would get a sense of division because now you're not looking at it as another person you're dealing with. You're looking at your competitive side.
That's spot on. And because it's spot on because we went from we have to learn to compete to I have to make you less than me. And in that moment where I have to make you less than me, I will dishonor my values. I will leave my integrity. I will stand on you with a misuse of power, and I will lose my purpose. And that's what we've been doing. What would happen if I hold you up as I hold myself up?
I think what we would find is that there would be a lot less division, of course, number one, which is what I think we're all searching for, especially now. I also think there would be an opportunity for more good things to happen. For us to work together to create better things and a better life for everyone.
Exactly. We don't even know what the surprises are because we haven't sat with people long enough to say, tell me who you really are. Tell me what gifts you bring to the planet. Let me benefit by those gifts. Let me share mine with you. And there's that energy that goes around. I often tell clients who are in couples therapy to sit on the floor, hold hands together, and send energy from your right hand to your partner's left hand, and let your partner send energy from his or her right hand to your left hand, and create an energetic connection around you in that circle that will move to your heart and show you how much oneness there is. And that's a very powerful exercise for our listeners to do, because it really shows you there really isn't any separation. There's no difference. When my blood spills, it's the same as the spilling blood of my Black sister or my Hispanic child. Yeah, there's no difference.
One of the things I've heard you say before, and it's key to when we are thinking about how we're going to make some changes for ourselves, and that is when you meet somebody the first time, what are you thinking about them?
Right.
We're used to making these snap judgments about who that person is. And so one of my favorite things that you've always said is that the first question I ask myself is, what don't I know about this person?
Right, right, exactly. That is huge. The important thing about that is it takes it from the place of I'm going to judge you to I'm going to grow in me. Because whatever judgment you make about the other person isn't about the other person at all. It's about my fear. If I judge you, it's because I'm afraid of something. If I judge you, it's because I want to be powerful in some way more than you are. So that other person could be the most powerful thing in the world, you're still going to judge them, right? Mm-hmm. And so asking what don't I know about you takes the onus off the other person and puts it on me to be more open, to be more receiving, to be more interested and curious, expanding my mind, my consciousness, and my heart. And that's the role of, are you doing what you came here to do? Are you conscious enough to be interested in what you're feeling, what your judgments are? Are you in alignment with what you truly believe? Not what you've been taught, but what you truly believe inside. And are you acting in that way? Are you standing in those beliefs? And when you are, that's empowerment. That's what enlightenment is. Yeah.
And what I think about when what we are missing when we decide that we're not going to engage with people.
Yeah.
We could miss out on an entire lifetime of connection with one person that we never knew anything about.
Exactly.
I think about one example that I can share, and that is hosting an exchange student. That was a big decision for us as a family to do that, because taking someone into your home from another country.
Right, it is a big choice.
For a full year, for a full school year.
Yeah.
But what I found from that is being open to something like that, it's a little scary because you're learning for the first time how you were going to handle something like this. And what I found is the differences are far less than we realize. I think that did so much, not just for me personally, but for my family, because you were willing and open with everything, being accepting and trying to see how that would impact your life. You just didn't know until the end
right.
of that year.
Right, right. And how powerful it was. Mm-hmm. Right. And when we're not willing and open, what is it that keeps us closed? What is going on inside of me that I would not want to be willing and open? See, there's so many little places in our life where we could just stop for a moment and ask ourselves, what fear is here? What is holding me back? What is it I think is going to happen if I open my heart and mind and receive this energy that is different from my own? You know, and if we can get to those fears, everything that's happening in the world right now, from the White House down, is about judgment, separation, and fear. And we're being bombarded with that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have to be really focused on taking the time in our lives to explore how much of that we've taken in, how much of that we are empowering in our life. You know, are we still more focused on our stock portfolios, our bank accounts, our retirement? Are we still more focused on all of that than we are on our spiritual journey. And when I talk about spiritual journey, I want to make it clear that we're not talking about religion necessarily. We're talking about the mystical side of life. We're talking about the energy that connects every living thing on the planet. We're talking about the life-giving force that has given us the breath and the ability to be living on this planet and create everything we create. So, because that energy works in alignment, and I know this can sound Pollyannish, but it works in alignment with the energy of love. The energy of love is not a hearts and flowers thing. It's an energy of attunement. It's an energy of being in alignment with ethics like integrity, honesty, presence, awareness, forgiveness, you know, upholding ethical boundaries, support, all of those things, compassion. It's not about just romance. It's about an open-heartedness that is really the very basis of our soul work. I think it's important for us at this point in time to spend at least as much time working on these issues in a quiet place, whether it's by reading books. We have a whole series that you and I have done on our website on communication boundaries, forgiveness, integrity, all of those things with free exercises. And I do, you know, video counseling with people all over the world, you know, on this issue. And we do all kinds of things to support this process. And all of the things on the website, you can download the exercises you download for free. There's no charge. We want to make this available for everybody because this is priority now. You know, we are not going to change the world unless we change ourselves. We cannot sit and wait for people in power to do that because that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to misuse power, and they're doing a great job at it.
Well, that does get back to the fear idea. And I know one of the other things that you've said is that we have to look at whether that fear is factual.
Yes.
Or whether it's just a fear that has no...
Right.
Nothing
right.
to it.
I tell my clients who get stymied by fear to ask themselves, is it a fact or is it a feeling? And as I said, I've never lost a client to a feeling in 45 years of counseling. It's just a feeling. And when you know it's just a feeling, and how do you discover that? You say, well, has that ever really happened in my life? Have I ever really been, you know, has somebody ever stolen everything I have? You know, has a partner ever treated me badly by cheating on me, you know? And we ask ourselves, are those things facts or fears? And if we sit, I always tell people, I love this phrase, when you have a fear, you invite it in for tea. You make a friend of it, right?
Yeah.
And you ask it, what are you here for? What are you here to teach me? And you ask it what it needs from you and how you can support it so it no longer needs to make you fearful. And you work through the fear until it's not a fear anymore. And if it's a fact, then you make a factual decision on what decision you want to make to react, and you take those steps. But 95% of our feelings are fear feelings that are not facts. And if we think about spending 95% of our lives in fear, what happens to empowerment and enlightenment?
Well, all of the energy, the energy is gone,
right?
When it's focused on the fears.
Right.
You're thinking about what you can't do.
Right.
Not what you can do.
Right. I love the old Chinese proverb, you know, where the young boy comes to the Chinese master and says, you know, I'm so afraid to go into the world and make my way. And the Chinese master says to him, you know, you have two wolves inside. One is black and one is white. The black one is fearful. The black one will hold you by the back of your pants and hold you back. And the white one is wanting you to go forward. Who do you think will win? And the grandfather said, the boy said, I don't know. And the grandfather said, the one you feed. And we are feeding our fears today. We're not making friends of them. And we just, there's nothing it can do to you. You know, are you worried and scared? Yeah. Did your heart beat a little faster? Yeah. But once you sit down and start to have a conversation, all of that normalizes and you realize you have the power. It doesn't. And it diminishes in its effort to hold you back. So much. And it's fun to do. It's fun work.
That's true. especially when you get past that specific fear and now you suddenly have opened up a space to do something different.
And what would that difference be? This is a holy moment, see? Mm-hmm. Now you've opened up a space to do something different, and here's your holy moment. How, in this moment, can I do something different that pushes my soul forward? Maybe I'll decide to go meet that fear. Maybe I'll decide to go have a conversation with that friend I think hurt me and resolve this issue. Maybe I'll go tell that person how much I admire them instead of being intimidated by them. You know, maybe I'll do something that reminds me I am a powerful person, that I'm enlightened and I'm spiritual, and I have spirit at my back.
You're not a victim of life.
Right.
You're an active participant.
Yes, you're doing what you came here to do.
Right.
Yeah. And being who you came here to be. And I don't care who you are or what your diagnosis may be or what your issues may be. You came here to change the world. That's what you came here to do. Like it or not, and you get to choose. And if you don't do it this time, you'll probably get to do it next time.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't get off this merry-go-round. We just go to the next assignment. And this will be your assignment if you don't take it this time. And you have every right to not accept it if you don't want it. Or you can become empowered in this lifetime and be an advocate for change that is monumental.
What would you say to people that, because they've been raised a certain way, that they think they just can't do it, that they can't or are not worthy to make changes like that?
That's a great question. Like energy draws like energy. People who go out in their day and they're feeling crappy and they just know it's going to be a crappy day, and sure enough, it's a crappy day. And if you get up in the morning and you feel like you've got the world by a string and you're on it and you're going to have a great day, that's exactly what happens. So like energy draws like energy. If you're feeling alone and unable to do it alone, find a group. You know, it doesn't have to be a religious group. It can be, there are plenty of what I call spiritually awake churches and gatherings, unity. But there are groups all over in your area. Just put your zip code in and put in spiritual or consciousness groups. And a load of stuff will come up. And then have the courage to go. You don't have to participate the first time. You don't have to talk if you don't want to. But find a group that has the energy that you want, so that you can get to a place where you can find out how they got there. What are some of the tools they used? And you get support for your journey. It's really hard if you're fighting against a family that believes differently than you believe, or if you're fighting against a spouse that believes differently than you believe. And so it's important to have an energetic support system. And that will help you. It's also important to read things that you feel aligned with, to listen to things. YouTube is filled with consciousness information. And it goes all the way up to the ladder to the corporate energies, you know, like Whole Foods, like Ben and Jerry's, you know, all the corporations that are now doing conscious commerce and conscious corporations are making more money than the companies who are not. You know, so if you're an employer, great place to go get some information on how to lift the consciousness in your company. Yeah, so there's so much out there. A little exploration, you'll be able to find the thing that feels right to you. Yeah, and don't feel like you're going to be put on the spot, because those kind of groups don't do that to you.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people fear that first step, but yeah. It really is taking that first step that actually opens the door.
Right.
That gets you out back into the world, and then understanding that you do have a choice, that you're not bound by any specific set of rules.
Right, exactly. Nobody's going to try to shove a teaching down your throat. There's no hellfire and damnation. There's no rules you have to live by. There's no, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't be this or that. And so this is a whole different program here. We're talking about, we want to help you be who you really are, you know? And if you can't take that first step, that's okay. I often talk with clients who are afraid to take that first step. So I ask them to go online, listen to some YouTube stuff, you know, get some information, listen to the videos on my site, start building energy inside of you so that you can build the courage to go and do that. And honor yourself. Love yourself for that search. Don't beat yourself up because you're not ready to go out yet.
Some people also feel, though, when they're doing these things, they have the sense of, I'm being selfish. Does that make any sense, really, though?
It doesn't to me. Do you know why they think they're being selfish?
I don't know. Maybe when they might feel like they're betraying something that from their past, right?
Ah, okay. Or it could be that that's your role in the family. That's exactly what you came here to do. Maybe that's part of your purpose, is to bring up questions, to open explorations, to role model your belief systems without a spoken word. Maybe that's part of your purpose rather than I'm going to shake things up. So you have to decide what's more important, allowing people to have their feelings, being a little shaken up, or stepping into your role in the family. Really important job. People called me the next Jim Jones when I first started teaching this. And I don't know if people out there remember who Jim Jones was. He's the person who took all those people out into the desert and made them drink Kool-Aid and they died. You know, and so when I started talking about energy and empowerment and all of these things, they called me the next Jim Jones. And I really had to laugh at that. It was interesting. I kind of thought, well, gosh, if you feel like I'm powerful, that's really good. And the other side of it was, I just do not be him. But it was an interesting thing because people were so afraid of change and so afraid of hearing that they can be powerful. We're more afraid of being powerful than we are of being victims. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. And the other thing about that is, for some reason, people assume that if you take your power back, that somebody has to give that to you. That idea about a guru who says, you have to do things my way, and then you can have power. It's a whole different thing than to say, no, I'm taking my power back. I own my life. I own the decisions I make. That's not giving your power to somebody else.
Exactly. And if you have a guru or a teacher that says, you have to do it my way, you need a new teacher. Because a teacher who is ethical will want to empower what you want and who you are. That's a boundary violation. When my clients come in, it's not up to me to take them where they want to go. It's not up to me to decide what their healing looks like. It's up to me to walk on the path with them toward that healing. So, and that's what any good consciousness teacher will do. And that's a boundary you need to set for yourself. And trust your gut. Trust your gut. If you don't feel comfortable, if you don't feel heard, if you don't feel understood, keep shopping. Don't sit there. You know, we're in a time now where we need you to be in the circle. So, you know, leave that space and find someone who hears you. Leave that space and find someone who will empower you and who you want to be. Because that's your job here. That's your only job here.
I think people need to know that it isn't just one place to go. It's just not one place to to find the answer that you're looking for. You may have to search for a while.
Yeah.
To really find, as I think my wife says, find your tribe.
Yes. Find your tribe and find your truth. Like what I knew when I started searching, I read every religious book I could get my hands on. I read, you know, I had been studying the Bible for years anyway. So I went back through that again. I went to all kinds of churches. And what I found is that there was a modicum of truth in everything. So I took the truth that I resonated with and became the truth for myself that I knew was right for me. But it was a conglomeration of so many things. And it didn't have to be one way. You know, it had to be my way. It had to fit Dina's purpose. It had to fit, you know, I can't go be somebody else's purpose. I can't do what they want. And sometimes that will fly in the face of what somebody wants. But I can't betray myself to please them because that's not my job. My job is to be fully who I am and let them deal with the fallout of that in a loving, and I'll be loving and supportive and kind and conscious. I'm not going to be judgmental about it, but neither can I leave what I know my job is to do here because that's a betrayal to myself.
Right. And if anybody out there is feeling that there's something missing, or that they just haven't found that fulfillment that they want, that is the indicator that maybe the things that you've experienced in the past just haven't fit you. And so reaching out and trying some new things is the perfect thing to do.
It is. And my experience is that that doesn't come into your awareness unless your spirit thinks you're ready. If you look at your life, you know, the things I learned about deep consciousness and awareness didn't come to me until I could hear them. And my spirit knew what that timing was. So if you're searching for something that is real, that has more meaning, then you are already ready to take it on, or it wouldn't be coming to you. So, and that's that wonderful, intelligent universe and the wonderful, intelligent energy that draws like energy to you when you're ready. You know, so there's an intelligence in the universe that is not going to overwhelm you, not going to push you in a direction you don't want to go, not going to feed you things that are not appropriate, but the longing is telling you you're ready. And so, you know, go explore, go have fun, go check things out, and know that you get the right to choose what works for you. It's a great journey, and it's very fun.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that kind of get stuck in the rut of life, a lot of times they just can't figure out, why am I not happy? Especially if they've kind of checked all the boxes as far as what our cultural understanding is.
Right.
Right.
They've checked the boxes they've been told to check and taught to check. Money will make you safe and happy. Accumulation will make you safe and happy. Power will make you safe and happy. Doing for others, not so much. And one of the things I learned, you know, I grew up in a very dysfunctional household. My mom was an alcoholic and my dad was gone. And so, but my mother was incredibly loving. She never saw anybody that was an other. And so every Christmas, around Christmas, she would start going through the neighborhood, accumulating toys and blankets and things, and gathering it up, and we put it in the back of our old station wagon, and we would drive down to Mexico, and we would find a family, and we would sit in a little hut on dirt floors, and they would make us a meal, and we would bring them the gifts. And I remember how joyful that was, and how happy the kids were, and how we as children learned that there was no difference, you know, right from the get-go. So putting yourself in what you might think is an uncomfortable experience can also blow your heart open, blow your mind.
Yes, it's true. I can share one experience that we had recently. Is we were invited to a baby shower for some friends of ours. And the family that was putting this on, there were a lovely Hispanic family that could not speak English. I mean, minimum amounts of English. But they wanted us to come and be here for this baby shower.
Wow.
And the amazing thing was, it was one of the most beautiful and exciting and amazing experiences. And yet we didn't speak the same language.
We didn't need to.
It was all about celebrating our friends.
Isn't that amazing? That tells it all right there. That little story tells it all. Yeah, it's about the energy. It's not about language. It's not about power. It's not about things. It's about love. And, you know, we have bandied about the word love so much now, we've diluted it into something that it isn't at all. You know, love is acceptance, and love is compassion and forgiveness and all those good things. It's not just about hearts and flowers and diamond rings, you know. But we don't know that until we get there and feel it. And once you get there, you never go back. You know, you can never not, this is, you know, not correct English, but I always say you can never not know what you once know. You can't go back and pretend not to know it anymore.
Trying to deny that would be extremely difficult.
Yeah. So all of these things, it's a process. And I want to stress that, you know, quantum leaping is a process. And it starts with that first step. And then you'll be led. You'll be led. The next step will arise before you, because the universe wants this to happen. So it's going to feed you. And then you'll take another step and you will grow. And so be kind to yourself. Don't feel like, wait, I have to do this tomorrow. You know, do it, take the first step tomorrow or today. And know that you're going to grow exponentially to your openness. And so you'll be able to, you know, find the things you want to find if you're curious and open. And they will get to you. So, but the moment you take that first step, you're in the circle. And that's what matters most.
Well, I think that's a great discussion for today.
Okay.
And as Dina said, she has plenty of resources for us. If you want to go to www.drdinaevan.com, she has many articles and videos, and we'll also continue to see her doing her work as she continues to help others find the consciousness that they need.
And my phone number is on that website, and I invite you to call me if you get stuck. Or if you have a question, I mean that. I'm not going to charge you for a question. You know, so if you get stuck or you have a question or you need support in some way, please know that I'm here as a resource for anybody that wants to use me. And that's part of my purpose. So it gives me great joy. It heals my body and soul, and it brings me more deeply into the circle. So it's a gift to me as well as a gift to you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dina, for your time. We love talking with you, and maybe we'll get a chance to do this again soon.
I'd love it.
Thanks for joining us this week on Curious Connections. Make sure you visit www.drdinaevan.com to access all of the resources we mentioned today. Also, visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/S. Winchester, where you can become a patron to support the show and also subscribe to the show in iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spreaker so you will never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Be sure to tune in for our next episode in 2 weeks. I'm Sean Winchester. Thanks for connecting with us. Remember, we are all connected.